I was saying that there are in the history of the world a few very important episodes which are instructive. And then I asked the question whether the word episode is understood. Then I was explaining the meaning of the word episode. If you like, you can all write down the word episode in your notebook, if you have a notebook with you. If not, make it printed in your mind, if you don't have a notebook. But the word episode is a very important word. It will be very useful to learn this word and its meaning. I can write it down for you. So, as I said, episode is a part of a long story which builds up a story, which is a part of building up of the story. It consists of an encounter, consists of an event, a plot, which is crucial to the development of the story. It may not be even crucial sometimes, and yet it may be an episode. Now, among these episodes in the world history, what happened to Arjuna at the beginning of the war of Mahabharata is very instructive. Now, if you examine this episode, you will find that what happened to Arjuna at the beginning of the war was crucial to the whole story of Mahabharata. You know the meaning of crucial. You should ask me these questions because I am taking this class only for your benefit, entirely crucial. You take this class also as a class in English, alright, so that your English may be enriched. The word crucial means that which is decisive. Anything which makes a difference, which decides, is crucial. There are many events which are ordinary events, but there are events which are crucial, which are decisive. Now, to understand the importance of this episode, which is called Depression of Arjuna, this episode is normally entitled Depression of Arjuna. Now, you must understand a little bit of the story of Mahabharata. Maybe that many of you know the story, but I must tell you in my own way the story of Mahabharata. I'll tell you the story in such a way that only Arjuna is, as it were, the main theme of my story. You might know that Mahabharata is a very, very huge book. It has got 100,000 verses. The totality of Mahabharata is 100,000 verses. This is a long story, very, very long story. There is a main story, there are sub-stories and sub-stories of sub-stories. It is, as it were, a mine of stories. I have been studying myself Mahabharata for many, many years, almost from the age of 4. And yet, I do not know the full story of Mahabharata. So you can imagine that this story is so intricate and so many events are described, so many episodes, that it would take a long time to read and understand the whole of Mahabharata. In the West, there are two great stories of ancient times, Odyssey and Iliad, which are sometimes compared with Mahabharata. But Mahabharata is much larger. It's a story of a great war. This is Iliad also is a great story of war. A war which was attempted to be avoided. Great effort was made to avoid that war, yet could not be. It became inevitable. There was a problem which had to be solved, and many efforts were made to solve that problem, but that problem could not be resolved. That problem had an outer face and also had an inner face. Outwardly, the problem was simple. Inwardly, the problem was very vast. So I shall tell you first of all the problem in the outward aspect. There was a kingdom in India, in northern India, which was called the kingdom of Hastinapura. Hastinapura. This kingdom was quite vast. In modern India, if you want to see where is Hastinapura, it's not difficult to find out. The present Delhi, the word which you know quite well, Delhi is a very big city, the capital of India. Then there is a very big town called Kurukshetra, even now it exists, and surrounding parts. So this is a story which is very ancient. How ancient? it is difficult to determine. Now, this kingdom was ruled by a king called Shantanu. That was the name of the king. He had many sons, but only one son had survived, who came to be called Bhishma. And then, in due course, there was another son. I am not giving too many names because you will simply feel very much intrigued by names and confused by them. In due course, three sons were born. I am telling the story very rapidly. These are the names which I cannot avoid: Dhritarashtra, Pandu, and Vidura. Now it so happened that Dhritarashtra was the elder one, Pandu was the younger one, Vidura was the youngest. Now according to the rule, when the father died, the king died, his first son should come to the throne. That was the rule in most of the parts of the world. And that was also true in India. So when the father of these three died, the question arose as to who should be the king. And the normal answer would have been that Dhritarashtra should become the king. But there was one problem. Dhritarashtra was blind. The question arose, can a blind man become a king? And there were many opinions on this subject. Some said he could be, some said he could not be. A blind man cannot be a king. Now Vidura happened to be a very wise man, very learned man. And the question was referred to him as a wise man, not because he was one of the sons, but because he was a wise man, very learned man. Now Dhritarashtra had a great ambition to become the king, very great ambition, irresistible ambition to be the king. But because the question was referred to Vidura, he remained quiet, as it were. And he said, all right, whatever decision is taken by Vidura, I shall accept. And so was the attitude of Pandu, the second son. Now Vidura gave a decision and said, the first son, if he is blind or defective in his body, crippled in any way, then he cannot be the king. So a choice was made and a decision was taken that Pandu should become the king. Now this I am telling you is a preface of the story. This is the beginning of the story. Now Dhritarashtra very well accepted the fate. He was very ambitious to become the king, but fate had denied him. He accepted the fate and showed great generosity and said, if my brother is a king, it does not matter. I am perfectly satisfied. But inwardly, he really felt very deeply that a right was denied to him. He thought that if Vidura had to give just another decision, he could have become the king. So in his heart, he was not reconciled to the decision given by Vidura. Now, Dhritarashtra had a wife called Gandhari, and Pandu had two wives, Kunti and Madri. Gandhari gave birth to 100 sons, of whom the eldest was Duryodhana. I am not giving you 100 names because, and that is not necessary, but Duryodhana played a very great role, so I am giving this one name, you are the eldest one. Kunti gave birth to 3 sons. Now all of them are important, so I have to give all the three names. A difficult name to pronounce, Yudhishthira, which means one who is stable in war. Yudhishthira, Yudhishthiraha, Saha, Yudhishthiraha. That is Sanskrit dissolution of the compound. One who is stable in war is Yudhishthira. The second one was called Bhima, and third one was called Arjuna. You know the names, no? Yudhishthira, Bhima, Arjuna. I'll come to Karna. Now, Madri had 2 sons. What are their names? Good. Nakula and Sahadeva. Now, Kunti had 1 more son, and there was a complication because that son was born before her marriage. Karna was his name. Now, for our purpose, I have told you all the important characters of the story. Now, right from the time when they were all being educated, there was a great rivalry between 100 sons of Gandhari and 5 sons of Pandu, of Kunti and Madri. Now, it so happened that Pandu, the husband of Kunti and Madri, spent a lot of time in making conquests. He went on war for a long time, and sometimes he retired into forest. Now, during that time, Pandu asked his elder brother Dhritarashtra to rule in his name. Both brothers had very good feelings about each other. So although Dhritarashtra could not become the king, he enjoyed the status of a king whenever Pandu was away. Now suddenly it so happened that Pandu, once when he was in a forest, he died. the question arose as to who should now come to the throne. 100 sons of Dhritarashtra and 5 sons of Pandu were still young, so nobody could come on the throne. So it was decided that Dhritarashtra will rule the kingdom, but not as a king, in place of his brother. He could not be the king because he was defective in his bodily organs. But he ruled. Now there was a great rivalry between these 100 and these 5, and Duryodhana always felt that being the eldest son of Dhritarashtra, one day when Dhritarashtra will either die or will relinquish the throne, he should become the king. That was his wish, his ambition. He wanted to be the king of Hastinapura. On the other hand, there was a question about Yudhishthira. In age he was even elder than Duryodhana, and he was the first son of the king who had died. Now, there was a debate as to who should be the king in place of Dhritarashtra, because Dhritarashtra was not the king. He was only ruling on behalf of his brother. And if none of them became king, Duryodhana or this Yudhishthira, it was because of the limitation of age. At a certain time, a question became very prominent when both Yudhishthira and Duryodhana became of age, and a decision had to be taken as to who should come on the throne. So Dhritarashtra himself would cease to be a king, and either Duryodhana or Yudhishthira should become the king. Now the wise people, including Bhishma, remember the word Bhishma I had written for you earlier. Pardon? He was Devarata before. I don't want to burden their mind. One name is enough. Including Bhishma, who was the wisest, the strongest, and the best and oldest of all, even older than Dhritarashtra. He was called the grandfather. In Sanskrit it's called Pitamaha. Pitamaha means father's father, the grandfather. Including Bhishma, they all had felt that since Pandu was the king and Dhritarashtra was also ruling only on behalf of Pandu, when Yudhishthira comes of age, he should become the king.